If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
This is Dr. Rob Stahl, and welcome to What Should You Expect at Your Age? I decided to put together this program as an experiment to see whether radio could be an effective way to present important and practical information about geriatric health, and maybe even help a few listeners. Features will include discussion of key medical issues of aging, how medications can be used, misused, and abused, the importance of treating disease and dis-ease, the subtlety and destructiveness of ageism, prejudice toward older people, the meaning of sudden or chronic health changes, the cardinal goals of maximizing quality of life and functional ability, the significance of maintaining hope, there is always something that can help, and what older adults and caregivers should expect with aging. I would like to start with a short story I often tell to my patients. A patient once came to me who was about to turn 100 years old. She had pain in her right knee. I asked her what she thought was wrong. "What do you expect at my age?" she demanded. "How is your left knee?" "Just fine, thank you," she replied. "Then why doesn't your left knee hurt? Isn't it the same age as your right?" Her face brightened and understood what I meant. "Think about it often. I do. It reminds me there is always something that can be done to help, even in extreme old age." I have put together a list of what I feel people should expect as they age. You should expect to be listened to, valued, and respected. You should expect knowledgeable and compassionate health care. You should expect to be as pain-free as possible and to be given medications that will only make you feel better, not worse. You should expect never to be abandoned or forgotten. You should expect not to live a life of loneliness or depression. You should expect never to be the object of prejudice or abuse. You should expect to get the help you need to live life to the fullest. You should expect to live up to your potential and have hope for the future. And lastly, you should expect never to be taken advantage of, except for your talents, knowledge, and wisdom. My discussion with fellow baseball dad, Rob, brought up important questions about advance directives. What you would want regarding your health if you were no longer able to make decisions for yourself. The most important of these is having a healthcare proxy in place. A healthcare proxy is that person you choose to make decisions for you if you are no longer able to make them for yourself. There is a simple form that can be completed in which you designate who you wish to act on your behalf and also allows you to include specific instructions as to what you would want under different health circumstances. I spoke with a very sweet 10-year-old girl recently about cranky old people. I'm here with my daughter Lauren at the Original Pancake House. So what do you think about older people, Lauren?
I think old people are very nice, and I like helping them. Sometimes they can get a little cranky, but it doesn't bother me.
Why do you think they're cranky, Lauren?
Maybe because sometimes they're going through surgery, like with a pacemaker, and sometimes they don't have a husband and they see other people with their husband and they get mad or they get sad.
So they might be lonely, or they might have things on their mind. That's the kind of thing you're talking about, why older people might be cranky?
Yes.
Anything else you want to say?
Well, one of my grandmas, she isn't very old, but she's very fun to be with. She plays tennis. She lives in Florida. And she sometimes plays basketball with me. And my other grandma, she's older, but she can't do all that stuff. But she still plays cards, and she does everything for me.
What kind of things do you do with that grandma? And what do you call her?
I call her Bubby, and I play cards with her. Whenever I go there, she lets me watch TV. And I always feel comfortable at her house when I'm there.
Do you talk to her on the phone?
Yes, a lot.
Do you go out to restaurants with her?
Yeah, she takes me a lot to many places.
Like where?
Sometimes if I wanted to go to, like, a crafty place, she might take me there. And I go to the beauty shop with her, and it's fun.
What types of food do you enjoy the most?
Chicken wings, french fries, and especially her chicken soup.
Well, thank you. That was very nice. You said some beautiful things about both your grandmas. With this show, I'm starting a new feature on the program entitled Quotations on Aging. A quotation will be read Jeopardy style, and you will be given the opportunity to supply the correct question during the call-in part of the show. Here's the first. This great American said, "Too many elderly people with small incomes skimp on food at a time when their health requires greater quantity, variety, and balance in their diets." Let me run something that was on last week's show while we're waiting for some calls to come in. And this is going to be a description of a caregiver's handbook that is available. You can call the station, 855-6848, and request a copy, or mail the station. They probably prefer that you mail the station, WHLD 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, New York. I have a caller. Wonderful. I better put my headphones on.
I wonder if you could tell me in layman's terms what the meaning intestinal metaphasia means.
Intestinal metaplasia.
Yes.
Can you tell me why you're asking that question?
Well, yes, I've been diagnosed with that along with Barrett's syndrome.
Okay. Well, you know what I'd like to do with that? Barrett's, you're talking about Barrett's esophagitis. Has it been called that as well?
Well, yes, it's considered a precancerous condition.
That's right. Barrett's esophagitis is something that can develop, and like you said, it's a precancerous condition that occurs in the esophagus, usually at the end of the esophagus where it comes into the stomach. And it's important to diagnose that and to monitor that for the possible development of cancer. Now, intestinal metaplasia, I would want to research that a little bit more before I describe the essence of that. Have you been under treatment?
Yes.
Coming
along fine.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. I can also, do you have information on the disorder?
Yes, I just was a little confused on what the actual term metaplasia meant.
Basically, it's cells that are starting to change from normal. There's hyperplasia of cells, which means hyper meaning overgrowth, and meta means a change of growth.
I see.
There's neoplasia, which generally refers to a tumor, which may or may not be cancerous. So these are terms, actually, that developed in looking at cells under the microscope. And you can see that the cells are not normal in a variety of ways. And since I want to keep it in lay people's terms, I'd like to leave it at that. But metaplasia is a change that needs to be watched, a transition from a normal cell to a potentially cancerous cell.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that helps.
Yes, it did. Thank you very much, Dr. Stahl.
You're welcome.
I'm enjoying your program very much.
I'm glad.
Thank you.
Good. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay. Well, that was very interesting. And what I plan to do with topics that I may not be totally expert on is to follow up certain questions, perhaps by having experts, local experts in the area, either come down to the studio or I will go out and interview them and clarify issues that you might bring to the fore.
one thing I learned in school, and I consider myself a lifetime learner, and something I've learned very well is that if I don't know something, I'm pretty good at finding out where to get information on it. One effort that I've been working on is what I call grassroots geriatrics. And this is trying to mobilize people themselves, volunteer organizations like the Lions Club, to assess and do self-assessments of healthcare needs of older people. I brought with me today a self-assessment booklet. What we did was send out a comprehensive self-assessment packet. And the idea behind this is that people have time on their hands, and if they don't, they need to take the time to improve their own health. And I'll go through the types of self-assessments that people can do to be able to hand over to their doctor and for them to learn from the different aspects of geriatric health issues. First was the quality of life assessment. On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is the pits or terrible and 10 is great, how would you rate your life right now? To me, this is the bottom line. And if a patient tells me it's a 5, I ask them, how can I help make it a 6? What was your main role or occupation during your life? What is your main health problem? What do you think is causing your main health problem? A patient's perspective and their beliefs on what they think their health problem is and what might be causing it is critical in trying to find a satisfactory approach to helping a patient with it. What is the one thing you do that you enjoy the most? What's the most memorable experience of your life? What are you most proud of? What is the main thing keeping you from enjoying life to the fullest? What are your main fears and worries? What embarrasses you the most? What regrets do you have? What goals do you have at this point in your life? Even if you're 95 years old, even if you're 100, you can still have goals. You should have goals. So these are very open-ended questions. Next in this assessment booklet is a listing of medications, immunizations, alcohol, and cigarette use. And I include alcohol and cigarettes as substances on this page, as medications, drugs, if you will. And included in the medication table, an open table for the patients to fill in, are cold remedies, natural remedies, vitamins, and other things that people might take. And we know that a lot of money is being spent day to day on alternative health remedies. And this could interact, this could affect a person's health positively or negatively. And I feel a doctor needs to be open-minded to that and has to ask about it. The balance assessment was very important to do, and in the subsequent health fair, we had a therapist evaluate balance. Falls can be disastrous in an older population. So assessing balance and seeing whether you're at risk for having a fall, whether you're taking the appropriate precautions to prevent falls, whether you have a fear of falling that's keeping you from enjoying life. In Erie County alone, we have 16% of people that are 65 and over. Nationally, there are approximately 12% that are 65 and over. The Buffalo metropolitan area has approximately 1 million people, so there's 160,000 people out there that are 65 and over. And I'm sure there are issues that you might need some guidance with. And that's what I'm here for. That's the sole reason I'm doing this show. I want to help. I want to reach a larger patient population through giving advice and guidance. So it's Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age? You should expect a lot. And that's what I'm here to help you to understand. I'll see you next week.
Will you still be sending me a Valentine?